Welcome to the Dogmen Underground podcast. Today I want to talk about probably two of the greatest influencers in my dog training method. Again, I'm not really a professional dog trainer. I've just always had a interest and a need in protection and guard dogs. And I trained my first guard dog just for personal use back in 1987. And I've trained, six, eight dogs or so for personal use. And I've always had, an affection for him. My Uncle Lou, I remember when I was a kid growing up, his garage was getting broken into and they were taking all his woodworking tools and stuff. And he went and he got this German Shepherd, pre-trained dog. And Sam was the dog's name. And I used to play with that dog all the time. But that was a really serious, badass dog and put an end to my uncle's theft problems. That was my Uncle Lou Marino, kind of what I named my dogs after. So I've always had an interest in it. And I trained quite a few of my own dogs. And like a lot of people, I had started out with the Kohler method of guard dog training. And still some of those concepts I still use today, but a lot of that I don't employ anymore. So anyway, flash forward a long time, and I'm getting back into dogs, living out in the country again, and wanting to get into guard dogs again. And I get to Mastiffs, Corsos, and Borbal, and those kind of dogs, and train my dogs. And what's new this time, though, is that there's a YouTube world out there, and there's all kinds of protection dogs, which we didn't really use that term back in the day. I'm sure it was around, but we just knew guard dogs. Smokey. I remember when I was a kid, Smokey, Ron Howarth, had this old German Shepherd in the backyard, Smokey. Remember he bit Perry Bull. So I've been around these dogs, and a lot of YouTube experts out there, and I was noticing there was a big difference between my dogs and the dogs that I've been around and a lot of the dogs that I was watching on YouTube. It just, it seemed like my dogs were a lot meaner, I guess is one way to put it. Far more aggressive. Even when I was using sleeves, my dogs never really were interested in the sleeves. And, they never really played with them or things like that when you let go to sleep. So I was noticing that there was a lack of tenacity in almost all the dogs, really. Even well-known and band dog people that supposedly, specialize in protection dogs and have bred for 20 years. And, I'm kind of looking at their dogs and I'm like, wow, man. For a while there, I thought there was something wrong with my dogs. Right? If this is the YouTube expert, and I noticed the dogs were playing with the sleeve and just didn't seem really interested in the person. And, so I was noticing a lot of that kind of stuff and a lack of obedience. So some of the things that I've always had in my dog training was an off switch. I really like obedience training a great deal. And one of the things that I've always really been into is a threat display on command where I can turn my dog on and it's seriously really aggressive. It's not like teaching your dog bark on command over a bowl of food or something like that. I mean real seriously turning a dog on and turning a dog off. And so I'm kind of stumbling around, learning a lot of new kind of stuff with the tree training and the Michael Ellis type stuff and keeping some of that still in my vocabulary for sure. Learning all that new kind of stuff as far as training goes. But like I said, I noticed there was something odd about my dogs and compared to what I was seeing. Well, there's two people that came onto my radar, and one was Richard Hines, and I just watched a video of his 37 minute video where he compares a IPO dog, a Schützen dog, and a Black Lab, and shows how they're all doing the same thing and just playing a game. So I came upon Richard Hines because he was one of the few guys out there that were showing at least a few dogs with some real serious aggression going on. And I liked his training style, and I paid for his courses, I still incorporate some of his stuff, especially, I'll get to that in a minute, a modified Gypsy Stratton type method, where I like to keep my dog at my side rather than out in front, pulling on a lead in any way, but keeping the dog by my side. That's kind of a Richard Hines thing. I really, really like that. And then the other person was Gypsy Stratton. And I'm pretty sure it was like 2021. I was watching a channel that I used to watch quite a bit, and it was Gypsy Stratton Speaks the Truth About Protection Dogs. And I thought it was kind of odd that this video was on this particular channel, because here was this old black man kind of saying things that I was kind of seeing. But the channel he was on was doing everything this guy was saying not to do, which I thought was kind of odd. So anyway, he was saying the right stuff about, you know, these are attack dogs, they're not a protection dogs, and you know, they're sleeve happy, and you're all focused on the bite, and all the kind of things that I was kind of thinking in the back of my mind. So like something I bring up just to think about this, you know, think of all the protection dog channels that you see. How many of them have anything about poison-proofing a dog? I mean, just one of the most elementary, basic things with a home protection dog is it not taking food or substances or toys under any circumstances from anybody. I mean, it's like so important. Every criminal knows this, but yet it's not on anything on all these channels. So I see this guy, Gypsy Stratton, and he's really speaking my language, and I reach out to him and set up an interview, and I just recently reposted that interview. I ended up doing two interviews of Gypsy, and then later I was along with him on his last interview before he passed away on the Bulldog Social Club. But anyway, reached out and did an interview. Really liked what he was saying, and I think I paid for a couple 30-minute sessions. Gypsy used to charge, I think it was like $50 for consultation, and he had seen some videos of my dogs, and he started to ask. He was like, "Wow," because I was big in an off switch, right? Down was my off switch, and Gypsy really liked that because nobody has an off switch. Even though his was different, at least I had an off switch, and he was like, "Wow, did you train those dogs?" And you know, I later got certificates on Luca and Apollonia as far as their obedience through the PPDA, Personal Protection Dog Association. And so he started asking, "Why did you train those dogs?" And after he was seeing some of my videos, I was like, "Yes, sir, I sure did." And bred them too. And so he was really impressed with that, that I had, as a non-professional dog trainer, that I had trained these dogs at a level of obedience that was pretty top-notch, man. And so we got to talking and did another interview, and one thing led to another, and all of a sudden it just, you know, he was calling me all the time. You know, he'd be out cleaning his dog yard in the morning, and I'd be cleaning mine, and we'd be talking on the phone. He was calling me all the time. And we were just sharing and growing ever closer together. And eventually what ended up happening is, like you said, you know, it's a great honor when a master of anything reaches out to somebody and invites you to sit at their table. Most people are asking permission to sit at the master's table. And he really liked that I knew a lot of the Kingdom of Heaven script about, you know, the virtue. And Gypsy was big on protecting the church lady. And I was always, like, talking about how I want people to be able to have their own protection dogs if you're a truck driver or just a common person, you know. And so we had a lot of this kind of stuff in common. And also, I'm very familiar with the streets, and Gypsy came from, you know, some of the bad neighborhoods in Chicago. And so we just became really close. And he had decided at some point that he wanted me to carry on his style of protection dog training. He was just really, really excited that I was into the muzzle. A lot of his other students had kind of, he was a little bit disappointed in them because they had kind of gotten into the sleeve and the sport stuff and all that, because that's where the money's at. And stuff like that. So he was a little disappointed, and he was just really excited that I was like a sponge soaking up everything that I could possibly learn from him. And so we had about a 2.5 year relationship. The last year, Gypsy was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. So what we had done is we had taken on a project with the goal for me to become a professional. Get my certificate under the PPDA, a professional protection dog trainer, was one of our first goals. I'll talk a little bit about that as well. But so he's calling me all the time, and you know, in a lot of ways, I was a glimmer of hope in Gypsy's life. I really feel like I provided that for him. He really put a lot of stock in me because I was so excited about this. And like I said, so many of his other students had kind of gone down paths that he didn't really appreciate. And so he was really excited that, one, I was well-spoken, that I was knowledgeable, that I had proof in concept, that I actually had dogs that I could demonstrate were well-bred and well-trained and on the same philosophy of... you know, Gypsy used to have all these sayings. I kind of got my own, you know, chase, apprehend, and detain, attack dogs versus defend, repel, and disarm. That's kind of my own little sayings. But Gypsy had, you know, the best bite is no bite, which I always agreed with, and still do to this day, that a true guard dog, a true protection dog, is well-versed in threat display. Not saying it doesn't do biting, but I'm saying that threat display is just like incredibly important, and you should be able to do that on command, and the dog really be serious, and be able to call the dog off while it's in defensive drive. So what I began to understand, like Jimmy said, there ain't nothing wrong with you with your dogs, bro. You got real dogs, and these guys are all for the show. Right, including the channel that I watched his original video. I think it's titled "Gypsy Stratton Speaks the Truth About Protection Dogs." He said, "You know, your dogs are in defensive drive. It's real serious, and that is the case." That is, you know, great video by Richard Hines, and that's what he's talking about. The mindset of the black lab chasing the little toy on retrieve, and those sport dogs biting that sleeve, and a lot of the YouTube channels that people watch with these supposed protection dogs, the dog is in a hunting chase apprehend mindset, and not in defensive drive. They're in predatory drive, total different drive, total different mindset. And not what we, and this is what was so great about Gypsy, and what Richard Hines says too, a serious protection dog is a serious protection dog. For example, I had pointed out, if you see somebody testing dogs for protection, and the, we'll call it a helper, places their hand on the dog's head in any way, shape, or form, and keeps their fingers, you're not looking at a serious protection dog. You know, Richard Hines just said that too. That's how my dogs are. You're not gonna, you know, put your hand on my dog's eyes or on their head, or hit them with a stick or a wiffle ball bat or a whip, or that, those kind of things are just not going to happen. nor are they going to be restricted to biting in the sleeve, right? That's why these dogs are a little bit, you don't see a lot of this online, because you don't know where these dogs are going to bite. Where a lot of these things, you know, they're going to bite in the sleeve, because it's a game. And that was one of the greatest things that Gypsy imparted to me, is feeling real secure and sound, that now I can absolutely say that's a game, man. That dog is in prey drive. I'm not saying there isn't a need or a necessity for that, but I'm just going off what I need for a home protection dog, and I don't really think what I need for a home protection dog is too far off of what most people need for a home protection dog, and we don't need none of that. So me and Gypsy grew really, really close, and there were many times he was calling me from his deathbed, and there were multiple times where he literally actually passed out on the phone in pain, multiple times, and. So we grew really, really close, and he tried to impart to me as much as he possibly could. And what we were doing is I was working training Apollonia. So he guided me through Apollonia and tried to correct some things in Luca. And he'd look at videos, and some people say, well, you never actually met him. And that doesn't really matter. I mean, there's a lot of things you can do today to learn without having to actually be in the same room with somebody. And so that's how we trained Apollonia. And I really fell in love with his method. And he was just a genius, as far as I'm concerned, when it came to the dog's mind and that kind of stuff. That old black man from the hood knew a few things, man. That's why, like, who I can't remember what he is. He's won the world championship dog trainings and all that stuff. Great trainer, you know. But he doesn't trump old Gypsy, man, when it comes to protection dogs. Like I always say, to me, that old school stuff from the Gypsy line, coming originally from a old white guy named Plummer, but all that entire lineage, you know. That to me, that's like the Gracie Jiu-Jitsu of mixed martial arts. It's the cream of the. It's really good stuff, man. And so he taught me all of that kind of stuff, and right up in up until the end. What we were gonna do, what he wanted to do, and we started our first interview together on the Bulldog Social Club. Gypsy passed away probably about a week after that, but he was going to start rolling me out as his guy, that was going to be the first of we were going to start doing joint podcasts together and putting it on our channels. And what I was supposed to do and was going to work with Jeremiah, another one of his prodigies, his students, another dog trainer. And have a workshop where I would be the trainer of record, because you needed to train five dogs in order to get the certificate. And so we were going to have a workshop, and Jeremiah was going to supervise it if Gypsy couldn't come himself. And I was going to get marked off on the five trainings through teaching these other people for the weekend at the workshop and get my... certificate. So none of the, he didn't live long enough for any of that to go down. And I wasn't really interested in doing that, really, to tell you the truth. I didn't want to do a workshop, and I've already trained, you know, five dogs, but what I wanted to do was just like train, you know, five fresh dogs, starting, we'll call Appy the first one, and actually really, really train dogs all the way through. Rather than just having a workshop. But none of that ever manifested. And like I said, the last interview Gypsy did was with me, with the Bulldog Social Club. And I kind of knew he was close to the end. I spoke to him, I believe it was a Saturday in the evening, and he was rather euphoric. And I didn't think it was long. And I think it was maybe a day or two later that his wife contacted me and told me, Chuck, you know, Gypsy really loved you. And like I said, Lori, I really loved Gypsy too. We had become friends through thick and thin. I mean, there were some, you know, well, I'll just tell you the other part of the story too. He's got a lot of these guys calling him saying, you know, that guy's a white supremacist. And so we, you know, we talked about all that kind of stuff too, and all that silly shit, and remained friends. And I miss Gypsy, but he taught me a great deal. And like I said, I kind of got a lot of his stuff with a little bit of Richard Hines mixed in there, and a lot of my own stuff too. You know, I use spring poles and flirt poles and jolly balls and all kinds of things in Prey Drive that Gypsy wouldn't use for training purposes and stuff like that. But, you know, to each their own. But The old man gave me a lot of knowledge and wisdom, and really got my head straightened out correct. And I'm really liking every dog that I'm training now is better than the next one. Trudy's really fabulous. I don't know if you've seen any of the videos. Really great on a threat display. I mean, very serious, very tenacious, and I'm able to shut her off reasonably well. And she's going to go through more. What I'm actually doing is I'm setting up the place here, just in case people are wondering. It's going to be pretty unique. Not out in a field. We're gonna be doing fence protection, teaching a dog how to guard a fence in a yard, and how to guard doors and windows in a home, and all that's around that. And that's what I'm going to be focusing on the member side, as far as the home and auto type protection, and kind of get away from all of this personal protection chasing, biting the sleeve. It ain't going to be about none of that stuff. It's about really getting these dogs really, really fired up, really tenacious. I mean, you've seen Luca, the video of him, when the bad guy, who it is a bad guy, Luca's in defensive drive, he gets a hold of the burlap sack, he spits it out of his mouth, man. He's not interested in the sack, and he's never seen a sleeve. Either did Apollonia, the only dogs I trained with sleeve were Gertie and Luna. Those were the last two dogs that I used sleeves on. But like I said, even then, the dogs were not equipment happy. And I think the major difference, like Richard Hines was just saying in that video, is I'm working my dogs in defensive drive. I'm not working when it comes to the protection work, when they're getting antagonized, they're getting antagonized Kohler, for thousands of years. Guard dogs were trained in defensive drive, because that's the drive you need for that job. There's a lot of reasoning behind it, and that's how I train my dogs. So they're not concerned about any kind of sleeves. Even when I was using a sleeve, it was directed at the individual from beginning to end. So if you're seeing dogs, running, playing with a sleeve, the handler kind of, or the helper kind of just blissing, walking around, seeming kind of unconcerned about the dog. There's a reason for that. There's no reason to be concerned about the dog. And if the dog doesn't seem concerned with the helper and is playing with the sleeve, that's not a protection dog. It's just not for me. It ain't, and for what I need. And I really appreciate Gypsy. And I don't think he got enough kudos when he was living, to tell you the truth. Like I said, I think his method and that lineage there is the Brazilian jiu-jitsu of mixed martial arts. I talk a lot about truth in combat and all that kind of stuff. So that was my relationship with Gypsy. And like I said, I think in a lot of ways, I kind of held Gypsy's hand on the way out, man, being a glimmer of hope and something to look forward to. And I was very honored to provide that for Gypsy. He was very excited about teaching me. And I'm glad I was there to be there for him in that way, to give him that joy, that excitement. I mean, to be calling you from your deathbed, man, when you're passing out in pain and shit, that's pretty dedicated. you know what I mean? And he was a brother of mine, and I'll always love Gypsy, and thank him very much for all that he shared with me, and I'm glad I was there for him. And that's what our relationship was. It was very close. Like I said, man, there were days he called me many, many, multiple times a day. Always on the phone with old Gypsy, man. Look forward to it, huh? I miss you, bro. Trying to carry it on. Let people know that's not the real deal, man. And to me, what he had is the diamond in the dunghill, as Thomas Jefferson once said, for sure. So that old black man from the hood over there knew a thing or two about protection dogs that a lot of these other people just don't get. And So that was my relationship with Gypsy and what I learned, and also Richard Hines. Nowhere near to the extent. I don't know Richard personally. We've never spoke or anything. But like I said, I paid for his courses, and he was one of the few, very, very few, that actually was showing dogs and talking about, hey, this is serious guard dog here, and this is this is BS over here. And a lot of people get their feelings hurt when you point it out, but it is what it is. All right. Love you, Gypsy.